special guest speaker, Pastor Story.
Oh, boy. Well, good evening. Everybody who's glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Everybody who's glad you're here and not in the hospital, say amen.
Amen.
Everybody who's glad you're here and not in jail, say amen.
Amen.
Everybody who just got out of jail this evening, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, praise God. Oh, listen, I love coming to Victory Christian Fellowship. And I want to say this while I'm thinking about it. I want to thank Pastor Ron and Jennifer. They have just treated me royally. Like I tell you, they always treat me so great, you know. I'm thinking when I get old, I just might move in with them. And I mean, many people in that house, they wouldn't notice there's one more there, you know. But anyhow, it's just been great. I always appreciate your hospitality. You're just wonderful people. And I do want to be cognizant of the time. I know that school has started and kids have to get up for school in the morning. I'm very conscientious of that when I'm home. And I want to do the same here tonight. So, it's kind of difficult preaching in this church because you folks get some of the best preaching in the world here, best teaching. I told somebody the other day, I said, whenever I have a question about the Bible, I call, you know, Pastor Ron. And he's just, the man knows the word. And thank you for having me. Thank you for being so kind to me. And let's go to the Word of God. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. And for the sake of the tape, I'm entitling this message, For This Cause. And I do want to read my text, and then we will just go from there. But I do have something that I've never, I put this message together. Never again will I go to Priceline and bid on a flight. Has anybody ever gone to Priceline and bid on a flight? Well, I did. And I was so happy they accepted my bid. I thought, boy, I put one on them. But you have to take the ticket flight unseen. So to make a long story short, I had to be in Houston 2 hours from my house. I had to be in Houston at the airport Friday morning at 5:50 a.m. So I said, well, there's no sense in me going to bed. So I went to Houston, and my son took me to Houston, and I got a motel room so I could at least sleep in till 4 o'clock and make my flight on time. But the Lord began to stir my heart in the motel room Friday night, and I put some things together, and I had my laptop, so I was even able to type it out. And so I've never preached this message before, so I just feel like this is the word that the Lord would have me share with you tonight. Let's read Colossians chapter 1. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now do that while I'm preaching and I'll cut my sermon shorter. God's going to get you, Jeff. You're an instigator. All right. I said, God's going to get you, Jeff. His wife said, praise the Lord. I've been waiting for God to get hold of him. No. Colossians chapter 1. Now, the first 8 verses here, Paul kind of gives his standard greeting that he does to the churches. And he says things like, you know, we give thanks to God for you since we heard of your faith and your love. And Epaphras told us about, you know, how you have love in the Spirit one for another. And he just kind of brags on them and edifies them and builds them up. How many are glad that there are some people whose words always build you up rather than tear you down? So he kind of gives them that joyous greeting. And then in verse 9, he says, For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And verse 13 is my primary text. Who has delivered us from the power of, somebody say, darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And Father, I thank you for your word, which is already anointed. But God, I recognize that it is not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. And Father, I'm asking tonight that you will grant me a new and a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost, that I can share the word with these precious people tonight, and that that word will go forth and take root in the good soil of their heart. I pray that you will anoint their ears to hear, their minds to comprehend, and their hearts to receive the word, and let it bring forth fruit in the day and the hour that they need it. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you will set yourself in agreement with that, say amen. Amen. How many of you know, I don't have to tell you this, that we live in a culture today that is hostile to the gospel and Christianity. However, you also know that that's nothing new. Jesus was despised, rejected, beaten, killed, what, during his ministry on earth. Stephen was the first martyr of thousands who would follow after him. And then, of course, of the 12 disciples, 11 died a violent death, all except John, who died a natural death. That was only after they tried to burn him in boiling oil and God spared his life. And then I was telling someone recently about one of the church fathers, Polycarp, who they tried to burn at the stake, but when they did, water shot forth from the stake and put the fire out. So we realize that there's always been hostility toward the gospel and toward Christianity. And many people tonight around the world, you know, people like to argue about when is the rapture going to take place and when are we going to be in the tribulation, you know? Is the rapture going to be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? You know something? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really care. Only thing I want to do is make sure that when he comes, I'm going. Amen? You know, I was talking to Pastor Ron the other day. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, these things are the beginning of sorrows. I don't know where we are in God's timetable. You know, some people, we could be in the early throes of the tribulation period. I definitely believe that we're in the beginnings of sorrows. I'm not a guy that preaches on eschatology a lot because most of these end time teachers, they have to change their theology every 10 or 20 years. But only thing I know is this, I'm just going to be ready to come when he gets here. You know, and I think we need to spend more time making sure people are ready to go when he comes than worrying about, you know, when he's going to come. And, you know, people say, well, you know, I don't think we're going to have to go through the tribulation. Well, you know, I can tell you this, there's people around the world tonight who are watching their children be shot before their very eyes because they won't deny Christ. Now somebody go tell those folks they're not in tribulation. Is anybody in the house tonight? Come on. So the world has never been gracious to the gospel and Christianity. The world has always been hostile to the gospel. So, but in our American culture, that we always, and folks, one thing we got to do, and I know you know this, we got to be careful that we don't Americanize the Bible. We've got to quit looking at the Bible in the light of America. And I know that our American culture, and you know it too, is guided by humanistic ideology, Hollywood, American Idol, and that Antichrist spirit that John said has been in the world ever since the first century. I realize that. You realize that. We live in that culture, that humanistic, Antichrist-spirited culture. But can I tell you something tonight? The problem is not the Democrats or the Republicans. The problem is not Washington, D.C. or Jefferson City. But the problem is this. Here's the problem today, folks. The root of the problem is we live in a world of two kingdoms that are at war with each other. I said, we live in a world of two kingdoms that are at war with each other. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Let's look again at verse 13, speaking of Jesus. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom. Somebody say the kingdom of his dear son. You know, I ask people sometimes, I'll say, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Okay. What you saved from? Well, I'm saved from sin. No, you're not. Is there anybody here who's sinned since you've been saved? Raise your hand. You want to tell us about it? No, that's all right. See, I just disproved that. We're not saved from sin. But Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. As long as we live in this world and have to deal with the flesh, we're going to have to deal with the problem of sin. Somebody help me out and say amen. I asked somebody one time, I said, what you delivered from? He said, I'm delivered from the devil. I said, no, you ain't. Hello? He is alive and well and on planet Earth. Come on. And as long as we're in this life, we're going to have to contend with him. Granted, his day is coming, but he's still around for now. How many of you wish the day you got saved, the devil would have died? But it didn't. But you, can I tell you something? I have found out, Joel, the guy I have the most trouble with isn't the devil. It's the guy between my two elbows. Come on now. So, follow what I'm saying is this. You know, we live in this culture, you know. And I was, back in my younger days, I used to be kind of wild. My God, I'd spit four pews and I'd jump and I'd run and I'd shout and I'd go crazy when I was preaching. And I'd always pray for people and I'd say, Satan, I command you to loose God's property and go back to hell where you came from in Jesus' name. One night God said, quit praying that because he ain't going. He ain't going. He's here because he has a right to be here. Adam gave him that right. He's the, you know, when he got kicked out of heaven, earth became his domain. Are you hearing me tonight? See, you got to have two things to have a kingdom. You got to have a king and you got to have a domain to rule over. Well, earth is Satan's kingdom. It's earth is his domain. He is known as the God of this world. How many of you know the Bible says, you know, the three temptations of Jesus? Turn these stones into bread. Jump off of this pinnacle. The angels will catch you. And then the other one was, he took him up on a high mountain. He said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just fall down and worship me. You know why he said that? Because he had the power to do it. Because he is the God of this world. Are you hearing me tonight? Now the day's going to come when he's going to get his. But until then, he is the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus is, now I want to say this to you. Jesus stepped out of the kingdom of light into this kingdom of darkness to bring the kingdom of God to earth. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Come on, help me out. Thy kingdom, thy will be done on earth. See, Jesus stepped out of the kingdom of light into this kingdom of darkness to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And guess what? Those who believe in him are no longer part of the kingdom of darkness. You are part now of the kingdom of light. You live in, you operate in a new kingdom. That is the kingdom of light. You are no longer part of the kingdom of darkness. And I know that people mean well, but you know one thing that bothers me is when I hear people, they're trying to witness to some guy they work with or witness to one of their buddies or witness to their brother-in-law, and they say something like this. And you know, I know where they're coming from. I know they mean well, but they say something like, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You're not just a sinner. You are a blood-washed, blood-bought child of the living God who has been born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are no longer a sinner. You have a new nature. I was laying in bed one night and I was praying. And I said, God, just give me more strength to overcome my sin nature. And God spoke to me and said, you don't have a sin nature. I said, wow, I'm better than Ron Case because he does. No, straight up, I ain't lying this time. I was laying in bed. and I said, God, would you just give me strength to overcome my sin nature? God said, you don't have a sin nature. I said, but you know, well, my Adamic nature, you know, Adam and Eve, he said, Adam and Eve didn't have a sin nature. They had the very nature of God. The very breath of God breathed into them. The same breath of God that breathed into you the day you were born again. You don't have a sin nature. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that we might be partakers, 2 Peter 1:4, of the divine nature. You have a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Are you hearing me tonight? You are not just a sinner saved by grace. No, sir. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's not talking about, oh, you know, Jesus in me makes me. No, no, that's saying the Spirit of God in you is greater than that Antichrist spirit that is in the world that opposes the anointing. Come on, somebody. You are not just a sinner saved by grace. You have been born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of his shed blood and your profession of him as your Savior and Lord and High Priest. You don't have a sin nature. You have a divine nature. Amen. Adam and Eve didn't have a sin nature. Well, why did they sin? Same reason you did. They had a will. Hello? They didn't have a sin nature. They had a will. We sin because we will to sin. But can I tell you something? Committing a sin does not make you a sinner any more than drawing a stick figure makes you an artist. Committing a sin does not make you a classical pianist any more than playing chopsticks on the piano. Come on now. A sinner is a person who practices the lifestyle of sin. You have been born into a new kingdom. You are no longer of this world. You have passed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, I want you to get this. I would venture to say that most of you here in this building tonight could quote Luke, Lord have mercy, I want to say 19:21, where Jesus said, the kingdom, if you got the King James or the New King James, the kingdom of God is within you. I think that's Luke 19:21. Let's see if Caleb pops it up on the screen there. Well, that's okay. Somebody's looking for it because I hear pages turning. Go ahead and find it. I'm going to run and get a drink of water, okay? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You'll get used to me someday. Jesus said, haven't you know Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Well, take it from me. He said it. Pastor, is it Luke 19:21? I might have it written down. Hey, you know what? I'm not nervous. I'll look at my notes. Luke 17:21. Luke 17:21. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And I've heard people quote that for 46 years that I've been saved. Well, you know, the kingdom of God is within you. It's inside of you. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. Who was he talking to when he said that? The kingdom of God is within you. He was talking to Pharisees, religious hypocrites. Is anybody still in the house tonight? He was talking to Pharisees, religious hypocrites. And a better translation can be found in the ESV or the NLT, which I learned this before I ever saw the ESV and the NLT. He was not saying to the Pharisees, a bunch of religious hypocrites, the kingdom of God is inside of you, because the kingdom of God wasn't nowhere near inside of them. What he was actually saying is, the kingdom of God is in your midst. When Jesus left heaven and came to earth, he brought the kingdom of God to earth. Thy will be done on as it is in. One more time. Thy will be done on as it is in. When Jesus left the kingdom of light and stepped into this kingdom of darkness, Satan's domain, he brought the kingdom of heaven to earth. And check this out. Everywhere Jesus went, he took the kingdom. And guess what? Guess what else? In Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 9, when he sent the 70 out, he said, when you go into a city, tell them this, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So everywhere Jesus went, he took the kingdom. Everywhere those 70 disciples went, they took the kingdom. Now you know where I'm fixing to go with this. You have been born into the kingdom of light. You are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. And everywhere you go, you take the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom of God was at Murphy Gas Station today. Because I was there. Where'd you go to? Never mind. I was going to say, we don't know where. We'll know where you went today. Is anybody? Somebody say amen. Amen. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is in your midst. He said, because you know what? Because when I left heaven and came here, I brought the kingdom with me. And then he said to the disciples, the 70, he said, everywhere you go, when you go into that town, you say, the kingdom of God has come nigh you. We've brought the kingdom of God. What are you trying to say, Pastor Story? I'm saying this, first of all, I love the Lord's Prayer. I pray the Lord's Prayer just about every day of the world. I don't just say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us it. No, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then I just take a while to hallow his name. I just take a while to praise him. Hello? When I was in Israel, they had this place called Hallel House. Hallel. It's Hebrew for praise. And they're open 24 hours. You can go there at 3 o'clock in the morning. There'll be somebody in there praising and worshiping. Hallel. Well, how many of you know that the Hebrew name of God is Yahweh? I learned this after going to Israel, when going to Israel. The shortened version of Yahweh is Yah. Hallel Yah. Hallel Yah. Hallelujah. Just threw that in for free. That ain't going to cost you nothing. I stop and I get to that part and I praise him. I hallow his name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's when I take time to do some kingdom business. That's when I say, Father, Sister Vera called, and she's suffering from her arthritis. But Father, there's no arthritis in heaven. So since the kingdom is in me, and where I go, the kingdom goes, I'll take just one amen. In the name of Jesus, Father, I come against this arthritis in Vera's body. And I speak and I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. You know what? There's no depression in heaven. So why do we who are kingdom people put up with it on earth? Come on. You ever go to church and, not here, because everybody in this church has joy and walks in perfect love and harmony. But I tell you, I hate to go to church and see, you know, sister better than you sitting there, you know. Looks like a dog that just took 10 milligrams of Valium. How are you, sister? My God in heaven, do some kingdom business. There's no depression in heaven. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against this spirit of depression. Come on now, y'all help me out a little bit. There's no sugar diabetes in heaven. There's no jails in heaven. There's no divorce in heaven. So see, we put up with a lot of things on earth that we don't have to put up with because it ain't in heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. So see, what I'm trying to say is we are kingdom people. And so let me take it just a little bit farther. When I get to that part that says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, I say this. I say, Father, I am a dependent, limited human being. Everybody here who believes you are a dependent, limited human being, say, I am. I say, Father, I am a dependent, limited human being. But the very life and power of God is at work in me and through me so that I can bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. Y'all getting this? You are a dependent, limited human being. But the very life and power of God is at work within you and through you. Wow. We are kingdom people. Why? The very life and power of God is at work in me and through me. For what reason? So I can shout and run around the church? No, but I'm liable to do that. I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm a classical Pentecostal, you know. I used to jump, shout, dance, and run around the church at the drop of a hat, and I dropped the hat. But the thing is, the kingdom of God is within you, not so you can just come to church Sunday morning or Wednesday night and get a Holy Ghost chill. That kingdom is that kingdom of light that we are now a citizen of, rather than the kingdom of darkness, is there so that we can take the kingdom of God to people on earth as it is in heaven. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Now, where do I want to go from here? Somebody say, thy kingdom come to earth, that thy will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, now when you start doing that, you're going to be picking a fight. Because Ephesians 6:12 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood or principalities. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Those who are in the kingdom of darkness, opposing those of us who are in the kingdom of light. Listen, I want you to get this tonight. You have been born in again, born of the Spirit of God with the divine nature. You no longer belong to the kingdom of darkness. You belong to the kingdom of light. And Jesus said to the church, he said, behold, I give you keys to the kingdom. Did he not? Did he not? He said, I give you keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Luke 19:10. Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save what? Say it again.
That which was lost,
not those who were lost. Everything that the first Adam lost, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, came, that word saved, you know, means restored. One of the meanings of sozo is restored. The second Adam restored everything the first Adam lost. Are you still with me? So, what I want to say to you tonight is this. Jesus said, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Anybody here got a house key? I didn't bring any keys with me. I left all my keys at home. Who's got a house key? Who's got a house key? Anybody got a house key? You got a house key? Which one's your house key? Okay, where do you keep your jewelry? Where does he keep all of his money stashed? That's what I want to know. This your house key? Is it yours too? Okay, this is your house key. You know what this key does? It gives you authority to go in your house and do what you, I mean, you can open the refrigerator, get some food out of it. You can sit on the couch in your underwear and watch football. Oh, God, I'm sorry I put that vision in y'all's head. You can play video games. You can do whatever you want to if you're home by yourself. You know what? But I don't have the authority to go in your house, raid your refrigerator, watch your TV, play your video games. I haven't been given the key, but you have. That house is your domain. Somebody still with me, say amen. Jesus said, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. He gave us the authority to operate in the domain of the kingdom and invade the kingdom of darkness. You still with me tonight? I am a dependent, limited human being. I'm just little old Tony Story from Newton County, Texas. But the very life and power of God is at work within me and through me that I might bring the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. And I'm going to say this. Since I'm leaving in the morning. When I read the Bible, I see that Jesus had to deal with a lot of demonic activity in a lot of people's lives. Somebody tell me when all the demons died. Because apparently nobody is dealing with any demon influence in their lives today, not in America at least. Come on, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? When I read the Bible, I found that Jesus dealt with demonic activity. I don't know about you, but at my house, when my kids were growing up, Sunday morning. Just chaos. And one day I said, this is enough. So I lined them all up and slapped them. No. I said, this is enough. I said, every Sunday morning, you know, good God Almighty. Can anybody, you know, I mean, everything can be peaceful Monday through Saturday, but Sunday morning just seems like, you know, I can't find my shoe. I lost my belt. He flushed my socks down the toilet, you know. I've stopped the car on the way to church, Bobby, and whipped all three kids. Then went to church and preached on the love of God. Well, that was back in the day when you could do that without going to jail. Now, in the Bible, Jesus had to deal with some demonic activity in people's lives. You know, if nothing else has worked, you might want to start doing spiritual warfare for that boy that's on drugs, or that girl that's in the crack house. Nobody knows how, but I'm fitting to tell you. Yeah, I think people do know how. I think sometimes we just, it's just not one of those things we pay attention to. There's demonic activity going on in churches that sometimes the elders need to get together and just bind that thing up in the name of Jesus. Folks, I got news for you. There's still demonic activity in people's lives today. A lot of stuff that they diagnose with a medical name could probably be taken care of with some good old-fashioned deliverance. Am I telling you the truth? And I'm not saying, you know, you got to take people in the back room and beat them with the Bible, make them spit in the bucket or anything like that. But I brought a bucket tonight just in case. No, you know what? Jesus just spoke the word, you know? Sometimes people are in bondage and they really want to break loose, but they can't. Somebody might need to do some spiritual warfare. And when I get to that part in the Lord's Prayer that says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, I say, Father, I'm asking you to don't let me get into a state of stupid today. Don't let me walk into a temptation that I don't need to be walking into. Keep me from temptation. Keep me out of the mess so I won't have to use my faith. I tell people this. Why don't you pray and use your faith for God to keep you from getting in the mess rather than having to use your faith and pray for God to get you out of the mess? So I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm a kingdom person. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that this day you do not allow me to enter into temptation. And I'm, check this out. Hebrews 1:14, and he gave ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation. Oh, I remind God that I'm an heir of salvation. I'm an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. I'm an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ because I'm born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. I'm an heir of salvation. Amen. So you know what I say? I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to dispatch the ministering angels today to go before me and do warfare, do battle on my behalf. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you will dispatch the warring angels, the ministering spirits who are warring angels, to go before me today. I know some of you looking at me like, I'll be glad when this guy goes back to Texas. He's nuts. But I'm telling you the truth. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you will dispatch the warring angels to go before me and do spiritual warfare on my behalf. I'm tired today. I don't feel like messing with the devil. Sick 'em, angels. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. Because you know what? That's spiritual warfare right there. That's spiritual warfare. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just charge the ministering angels to go before my kids tomorrow. Keep them protected. Keep them from falling into temptation. Don't let them go back to the things that you've already brought them out of in the name of Jesus. Father, send the warring angels. Send the warring angels before them to do spiritual warfare on their behalf. Come on now. That's taking your authority as a kingdom person. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, because after Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, he said, now pray this way. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You're kingdom people. You can pray that way. I've already prayed that God would send the ministering angels to go before me tomorrow on my way back to Texas. So I'll arrive home safely and my wife be so happy. I prayed that the ministering angels would go before me, do battle on my behalf. I've told this very few times in my life. I don't know if I've ever told it here. I probably haven't. I don't even know if Pastor knows it. But June 16th, 2003, I was in the church one afternoon praying. At that time, we were still having midweek on Thursday night. It was a Thursday afternoon about 4 o'clock. Our sanctuary was about the size of this one. Pastor, it's when we were on Highway 62. You preached there. Jennifer was with you when you came that time. And we were in that building, and that's before we bought the school building. And I was praying for the service that night, and I was walking around. And I don't tell this too often. Hardly ever tell it. I could probably count on 3 fingers how many times I've told it publicly. But I was walking around the sanctuary praying. I like to walk when I pray. And I came, our sanctuary is just about the same exact size as this, and the chairs were about ranged like yours. And I was walking around, and when I got right here, even with the sound booth, I seemed like I saw something out of the corner of my eye. I kept walking. I closed my eyes. I kept walking, and I kept praying. And the closer I got, it seemed like I could see something out of the corner of my eye. And I turned and I looked, and there was an angel standing there. And I've heard people talk about seeing angels and said, oh, they were 9 feet tall and all that stuff. No, this guy was just, this angel was just a little bit taller than me, had a very youthful face and blonde hair with big curls in it. Not kinky curls, but just big curls in it. And he was standing there, and it looked like Russian armor that he had on. And he had a sword in his hand, and it was down by his side. I was scared to death. I didn't stop and say, hey, what's up? I kept walking. I started praying in the spirit, Jeff. I started praying in tongues. I started praying in the spirit. And I got to the wall, and I was scared to death. And I was shaking, and I was praying in tongues. And I heard him say, from now on, you won't have to fight anymore. I'm going to fight for you. And that was after our church had just gone through a very deep place that I shared with the people Sunday night concerning the praise and worship leader and the assistant pastor's wife. Our church had just gone through some spiritual devastation. And I walked over there to that wall, and I was scared to death. I was shaking. I was praying in the spirit. And he said, from now on, you won't have to fight anymore. I'm going to fight for you. I said, not right now, you're not. I got my sandals on. I got my Bible. I got in my car, and I prayed in the spirit all the way home. And I got home, and I couldn't even talk in English. I was just praying in the spirit. My wife was saying, what happened? I said, I'm trying to say an angel. But that's not an experience you forget too easily. But I know this. They're real. And they're on duty. Just waiting for kingdom people to say, Father, would you dispatch the ministering angels to go before me today, that I won't fall into temptation, that no evil will befall me, Come on, somebody. I'm telling you the truth tonight. He has given ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation. And if you're an heir of salvation tonight, say, I am. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. I'm almost through. Now let me say this. Once again, I am a dependent, limited human being. But the very life and power of God is at work within me and through me to bring the kingdom of light into this world ruled by a kingdom of darkness. If we would spend as much time doing spiritual warfare as we do doing fleshly warfare. I know it's easy to get mad at people. It's easy to just want to give up on people. But that's a real indication right there that we're not warring against flesh and blood. But for this cause that the kingdom of God and the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, I can remember during the charismatic movement when the faith preachers preached against the Lord's Prayer. Oh, that was before the day of Pentecost, and he was talking to Jews, and that's a faithless prayer. That's a faithless prayer to pray, thy will be done. No, brother, you just got to stand up and say, bless God in the name of Jesus. No, you know what I've learned? I've learned if I'll stick with what Jesus says instead of what TV preachers say, I'll be okay. I don't have a problem praying, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know why? Because I want God's will done on earth. I want God's will done on earth. I want to see people. There, like I said, there's no arthritis in heaven. There's no sugar diabetes in heaven. You know, there's no bipolar in heaven. There's no Alzheimer's in heaven. Well, does everybody you pray for get healed and delivered and set free? No. But you know what? Babe Ruth struck out more times than he hit. I'm going to keep on swinging. Come on. Amen. Old country and western song used to say, if I got to go, I'll go down swinging. But the thing is, I'm going to keep on swinging. You know why? Because sooner or later, you're going to connect. And you're going to knock it out of the park for Jesus. So it's very simple. As you go in the name of Jesus. You don't have to act the fool. You don't have to be stupid. You know, you can just, you know, I've encountered people at work. I've encountered parents that were coming in for a parent-teacher conference that were just coming up there to claw my eyes out. And I would stand there and I'd just begin to pray quietly, take authority over that situation. Say, peace be still in the name of Jesus. And all at once it just seemed like, you know, they calmed down. Anybody here believe I'm telling you the truth tonight? Amen. I'm telling you the truth. For this cause, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as you go, now you don't have to walk into work in the morning and say, hey guys, kingdom of God's here. Check this out. No. But if you want to, go ahead. No, come on. We don't have to be stupid. Just know that, you know, some of my best prayer time, I get up every morning at 5:30 and I have my quiet time with my coffee and reading the Word. And then driving to work is I was telling Patrick, that's my best prayer time. I do my best praying when I'm driving. And people who ride with me do. They're best praying when I'm driving. No, I watch and pray. I watch and pray. You know, it's like, you know, when your kids are little, Scott said, Dad, Steve had his eyes open while we were saying the blessing. You know, well, that's okay. You know, you don't have to watch them. You don't have to close your eyes. You know? It's like, I don't know if y'all have them up here. I guess you do. But down there in Texas, it's so hot and the sun is so bright. We've got these things you put over your windshield when you get out of your car. You know, these windshield visors. And I put one up one time and I looked down the corner and they had some writing and it said, do not operate vehicle while visor is in place. And I'm saying, how stupid do you think I am? For this cause, you are a dependent, limited human being. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are a blood-bought, blood-washed, born-again child of God with the divine nature.
Well, Pastor Story, sometimes I don't feel like I got a divine nature. Sometimes I don't either.
But you know what? We don't let that stop us. You know, grace, grace, wonderful grace. God's grace, who can understand it? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Would the praise team come, or Randy, or just whoever, one or two of you, or all of you, whoever. You know, it's 8:16. Did you get the message tonight? Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven. He brought the kingdom of God to earth. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. He said the kingdom of God is in your midst, or the kingdom of God is among you. And then He told the 70 disciples when He sent them out, He said, wherever you go, you tell them the kingdom of God has come nigh you. And we as believers, born again by the Spirit of God with the divine nature, we may be dependent, limited human beings, but the very life and power of God is at work in you and through you so that you can bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. Use what you have at your disposal. Ask the Father to dispatch the ministering angels to go before you tomorrow, to go before your children, provide protection, do battle on your behalf and on their behalf. When the church, or when you as an individual are in a spiritual struggle, don't be ashamed to ask the Father to dispatch the warring angels to go forth and do spiritual warfare on your behalf. Use whatever you have at your disposal. And remind yourself that the very life and power of God is at work within you and through you. And you can bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. There's no alcoholism in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. So therefore, Father, make us mindful of the fact that the life and power of God is at work within me and through me. And God, help us to dare to be bold. Not in a foolish way. Not in an offensive way. But God, just in a confident way of knowing. Of knowing. That life and power of God that is in us, when we release it by praying the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus, or speaking the word in the name of Jesus, we can bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. Let's just wait on the Lord for a moment. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I'm going to ask them in just a moment to sing that chorus again. And I know this is Wednesday night. I know this is the night, usually, when it's just home, folks. And it would not surprise me to find out that every person in this building has accepted Christ as your Savior. You've been born again by the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But it also would not surprise me to know that there might be someone here tonight who has not made the decision yet to trust Christ as your Savior. You've not made the transfer from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. I want to give you a chance to do so tonight. That's category one. Category two, you may be here tonight, and there may be a spiritual, physical, financial, marital situation in your life that there just seems to have been no breakthrough. But you realize tonight that you're a kingdom person, born again by the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with the divine nature of God and with the very life and power of God at work within you and through you. And tonight, you'd be willing to say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me and I want to set myself in agreement with you and get victory over this thing. Get deliverance over this thing. Whatever the situation is, I want to pray for you. Now I look at the clock and it's 8:23. And as I said Sunday morning, I never plan an altar call. I finish praying and then I just try to see which way the Lord wants me to go. But I do know this. I do know that after I preach the word, I want to give the word a chance to work. So stand with me, please, if you would. Stand with me. If you're in either one of those categories, maybe here's category three. Maybe you once knew the Lord, but you've allowed the pressures of life or the influences of the kingdom of darkness to draw you back to a place to where you're not walking with the Lord like you once did. But tonight you realize that as weak and as frail as you might be spiritually, because Jesus is your Savior and Lord, that power and life of God is still in you. I don't know if there's anybody here tonight, and there's anything. I'm not going to take time. I don't have time to have a prayer line and pray for everybody individually. But you know what? God's a big God. He can do it all at once. He created the world in 6 days. He can certainly take care of all the problems in this building in a short time. So tonight, if there's a situation in your life, in your home, in your marriage, in your finances, in your body, or a spiritual struggle, anything that you've been going through, I'm just going to ask you to come and stand here tonight, and I'd like to pray with you. If nobody comes, we'll dismiss and go home. But if you would like us to pray for you, just come tonight and stand as they sing it again. Sing it one more time. One more. Sing it with him. Sing it with him. Chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, have ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace. Now, I touched on this Sunday morning, I think, but I don't know if I explained it totally. But Romans 10:17, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as I told you Sunday morning, when Paul spoke those words, they didn't have a nice leather-bound Bible. But there's nothing that will build your faith like hearing the word of God with your own ear. Or hearing God speak to your spirit and you know it's God speaking. Faith comes by hearing the voice of God. So tonight I want to pray with you. And I'm going to ask you to pray. Let me lead you in prayer, but I'm going to ask you to pray it vocally. Because I want you to hear it. God could hear it if you just prayed quietly. He knows what you have need of even before you ask. But I want you to hear it so that your faith will rise. Pray with me now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. And I do profess Jesus Christ as my Savior, Lord, and High Priest. I thank you that I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And I thank you that I have the divine nature and the very life and power of God is at work within me and through me. Therefore, right now, I stand before you and this body of believers. You know the need for which I'm standing here. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I bring the kingdom of God into this situation. I say in Jesus' name, thy will be done in this situation. In my body, in my spirit, in my mind, in my family, in my marriage, in my finances, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where there is no poverty, where there is no sickness, where there is no divorce, where there is no rebellion, in Jesus' name, I declare thy will be done in this situation on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now give the Lord the best hand clap offering you can give him. God, I've been set free. Come on now, sing.